Hi, Clutter Fairy fans. Welcome to the May 2019 Clutter Conversation webcast, which we're holding in June. I'm your moderator, Ed Gumnick, and I'm speaking with Gail Goddard, professional organizer and owner of the Clutter Fairy in Houston, Texas. Our topic today is all in a day's work, daily decluttering routines. And now over to you, Gail.
Hi, everybody. How you doing? Welcome to our late edition of the May's Houston Clutter Coaching Meetup Group. I'm so sorry that we had to postpone, but I got hurt. I fell and extended my fingers backwards, and so I'm still in recovery mode. They're still, you know, glom to each other so that I don't bend them too much. I'm doing fine, but it was, you know, it was a difficult week, the first week after I got hurt. So I just did not have it in me to stand up and do this at the time. So thanks for being patient with us. We appreciate it so much. Today we're going to talk about all in a day's work, daily decluttering routines. We want to talk about those daily habits, those daily decluttering routines that you do anytime during your day or evening that helps you stay ahead of the clutter in your life. No one's clutter problem started overnight. At some point you wake up in your life and you look around your house and you realize that the house is out of control. You can't stand it anymore. Whatever ability you have to ignore it has now reached its limit. And you are looking at a big problem that you have to fix. And there's the digging out the backlog, but then there's also the realization that in order to maintain the clutter in your life, to maintain your decluttering habit, you have to learn some habits that you do every day or, you know, several times a week to manage it and stay on top of it. And it's one of those things you have to do forever, just like you have to brush your teeth to keep your teeth in your head. So we're going to talk about those daily things that can impact preventing clutter buildup and help you maintain your life in a way so that you feel comfortable in your space instead of feeling like your space is out of control and totally chaotic and not supportive of you. So we talk a lot about digging out of a project that's been long neglected, but in addition, you have to do the maintenance, and it's time to develop some new habits, so, and adding them into your daily life. I'm looking at my paper because I want to get these names correct. Ed gave me some great information about habit formation, and one of them is Dr. BJ Fogg, and he is the founder and director of the Stanford Behavior Design Lab. And so he's written some books, but he also has a bunch of YouTube videos out there talking about behaviors, behavior modification, habit formation, and he has a whole lot of advice about that. And so he's somebody that we're going to today provide you lists of habits that might be helpful, but he is somebody that you can go and look at to talk about how to build those habits, how to add those habits in when you haven't had them before, that kind of stuff. Dr. BJ Fogg is one, and his last name is F-O-G-G with two G's. And then there's also Charles Duhigg, and he wrote The Power of Habit. So there's a couple of experts in the ideas around habit formation that would be great resources for you to Google and look at YouTube videos and things to help you with the idea of, okay, I know I'm supposed to build this habit, but I'm resistant. I don't have motivation. I don't keep up with it over the long term and that kind of stuff. So they talk about habit management, habit formation, that kind of inspiration for motivation, things like that. And so those are good resources, and we will put links to them so that you can also go in and get that support. So let's launch our discussion today about routines with the start of the day routines. What comes to everybody's mind first? The first one is the one that your mother tried to teach you when you were a little kid. You get up in the morning and you make your bed. I don't know what it is about making the bed, but there's something to me that's very relaxing about coming home at the end of the day when I've been out of the house all day and I come home and go into the bedroom. And if the bed is made, then it seems very relaxing and serene to me. And if the bed is a crumpled mess, then it just seems sort of assaulting. Like, it seems chaotic to me to come in and see the bed sheets all crumpled up in a big mess. there's a process of, it's the bed, it takes up a whole lot of space, and it's a very big surface in your house. I mean, it's something that people put stuff on all the time. It's a big flat surface, right? And so having that bed be, that big flat surface be smooth and flat and clean is a very visually soothing thing to my eyes, I think personally. And I think it's why people strive to do it at home, because that is a place that you come in and you, it's the biggest piece of furniture in the room, and you come in and see that, and it is a very, it's like your mind immediately starts to rest because it looks like this big flat clean surface, and it's worth the effort. Now there's some people that will advise that because you've been in the bed all night long and you've been sweating in it, and it's bed bugs get supported by that, you don't want it to stay damp, and so you want it to be aired out before you make the bed. I think you can accomplish that task just by leaving the bed unmade until you're ready to leave the bedroom, until you finish your shower and gotten dressed and all that stuff. So 30 minutes, 45 minutes of time where the bed is aired out, and then you just make the bed as the last thing before you leave the bedroom. So whether Gail, you're, yes.
I'll just interrupt you for a second. Not bed bugs, dust mites.
Dust mites. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes, you're right.
If you have bed bugs, that's a much larger
problem. Yeah, that's a whole different problem.
Right? We all have dust mites no matter what try to do about it.
Yes, but, yes. But light and air kills off those kinds of things. And so for people that are worried about it, for people that have allergies, they may not want to make the bed right away, is my point. And so if you want to jump up and do it the first thing, feel free. If you are more concerned about airing out the bed first, fine. Just do it as the last thing before you leave the bedroom to start your day. And so one presumes you're going to get up and spend some amount of time getting showered and dressed and whatever. And then you'll have enough time go by that you can make the bed before you go leave the house. Okay. The point is that if you do it, and it takes 5 minutes, 3 minutes, depending on how complicated your layout is on the bed, it will be a big reward visually to you when you come home at the end of the day and you're tired and you come in and it's this big, clean, smooth surface to look at. It'll be very calming, and you'll be happy that you did it. Okay, another good morning routine is really simple, hanging up your wet towel. So anybody that's had teenage boys in the house know that as a mom, you go around behind picking up towels off the floor all the time, or you pick it up off the bed, or you pick it up off the chair, or wherever. I don't know what it is about towels. Either you love hanging them up or you love ignoring them. And so this is a good daily habit to A, keep the towel clean, B, to actually allow it to dry so that it's dry when you come to use it the next day. If it's on the floor, it is not going to be dry at the end of the day. I'm just saying, it's still going to be damp. And so getting it off the floor, and you can hang it up. It doesn't have to be a complicated thing to hang it up. You don't have to like fold it all up and put it back, but you can put it over the shower rod, put it over the towel rod, put it over a hook on the wall. Maybe you have an over the door hook in the bathroom and you want to hang it up there. The idea is, it's not a hotel in your house. When you leave towels on the floor in the hotel room, the maid comes in and picks them up mysteriously while you're out, and when you come back, they're all gone, right? Yeah, nobody's coming in the middle of the day to take your towels away for you. So this is a good one to help with the visual look. It's a big piece of fabric that is sitting on the bed, sitting on the floor. It immediately looks messy. And so part of creating a serene visual landscape is to get that kind of stuff off the floor. So hang up your bath towel, take 2 seconds, put it somewhere, get it off the floor. So another bath-related daily routine, and the presumption that it's still morning and you're doing, getting dressed, right? So one of the things that you do in there is you pull out the toothpaste to brush your teeth. You pull out the stuff to wash your face. You pull out the hairbrush. You put on makeup. You pull out perfume and all of the, you know, depending on how complicated your hair routine is, there's all sorts of products and supplies that get used to get you put together to leave the house, right? This creates a bunch of chaos on the counter. And like all projects in your life, you should put those projects away so that at the end of the day, you're not coming back to the house and walking into a bathroom that looks like the hurricane hit, right? So every project that needs to come to an end and have the supplies put away, and your morning routine of getting dressed and putting your face on and, you know, brushing your teeth is all part of that process. So you're going to pull out a whole bunch of supplies, and you should take those supplies and put them away before you leave the house. That will create a cleaner environment for you, and you'll be ready to go the next day. You're really supporting yourself. If you leave them all out one time, then you're always fishing around in the soup to find what you need the next day. So it also supports you in having getting dressed to be a less stressful process if you can find everything that you need and they're in the place where they're supposed to be. So that is a good daily habit to keep your bathroom from looking cluttered, is that when you're in there using it and doing stuff, you when you are complete, when you're ready to leave the house and you've got yourself all together, you're the project is done, right? The project of getting myself out the door is complete. Go put your stuff back in their places so that you can come home to a clean surface at the end of the day. At this point, I'd say that most of us check our phones first thing in the morning when we get up. But we all know what a time suck a smartphone is. If you dive in and start looking at all your apps and looking at social media and looking at all the email and stuff, you are going to waste a bunch of time. And so this is really a daily habit to help you with time management. In the morning, most of us are trying to get out of the house by a certain time in order to arrive to work on time, to be to our appointments on time, to be where we're supposed to be. And so anything that derails you from paying attention to the time and eating up the amount of time that you have to get ready is not in your best interest. And so what I do with my phone in the morning is I get up and look at it, but I'm looking for fire alarms. I'm looking for the flashing red beacon notifications. These are the alarm emails or text messages or voicemails. And for me, it's, I'm checking to see if a client has contacted me to say, oh my gosh, I can't do our appointment today. Something's come up and I have to move it. And so I need to know that before I leave the house, because if they have changed their appointment time, A, I don't want to drive to their house. And B, I need to figure out how that impacts the rest of my day and what I need to get done. And so most of us wake up with an idea of what we think we're going to do for the day. And if there has been some development overnight or in the early morning that's going to change that, we want to capture it. But so what I'm saying is that I pick up the phone and I look for these fire alarms, and I check voicemail and text and email, and I scan looking for clients. And I'm looking to see, has a client contacted me and what are they trying to say? Are they going to change my day? Are they going to change the plan for the day? And if I find one of those, then I can read it and I can adapt my day according to what's happening. And if I see none, then I'm done. I get back out of the phone, because if I jump into social media, I start looking at Facebook, I'm going to wake up 30 minutes later going, oh my gosh, I'm going to be late. I haven't left the house. I'm not dressed yet, whatever. So I would make it a daily habit in terms of time management to only check the phone first thing to make sure that there hasn't been something that's going to impact your schedule happen overnight. And then once you determine whether that's true or not, then put it back down and go about your day. Because then that means that I can look at other text messages later. I can answer other emails later in the day or later that night. It's all stuff that can wait. And so I don't want to dive in and get lost in the day's tasks in email or text or whatever, social media, and not get out of the door on time. So this is a good habit to help you manage your time and get out of the house on time. So a next daily morning routine would be the showered and dressed you that has to be fed breakfast, right? You have to go in and find some food, and you're going to make a mess in your kitchen, right? You're going to make coffee. You're going to prepare something to eat, grab something to go, and it's all going to involve opening packaging, pulling things out of the fridge, getting out plates or napkins or whatever. You're going to have to do some prep work in the kitchen, and you're going to make a big mess. And so if you have a family, if there's you and a spouse and children, then you're about to make kitchen mess times three or four or five or however many people are in the house, right? So that's a lot of dishes to come home to at the end of the day. And so I would make it a daily habit that whatever happens at breakfast, A, you make sure, again, the end of the breakfast project is you put all the supplies away. So you put all the food up for sure at the minimum. And then the second goal would be to try to get all the dishes at least into the sink. And if you are super industrious or you want to enroll your kids in supporting the household, then somebody needs to load the dishwasher. I say that because when you're providing two or three meals a day for a household full of people, that is an entire counter full of dirty dishes three times a day. And so there's no way that you can ignore that and not have it completely take over your kitchen in a few days. So this is something that is worth the effort. It's part of the meal prep that the dishes have to come back into the kitchen, that they have to get into the dishwasher, the food has to get put away. And so whether you are in charge of that yourself because there's only you, or whether you and your family are going to participate in that task, I think that's a habit that makes it easier for everybody to come home. Because if you come home at the end of the day and you walk in and all the breakfast dishes are on the counter and you can't even start cooking dinner until there's all of that stuff is removed out of the way, what a nightmare. What a pain in the rear end. And it's so, you have better energy in the morning. At the end of the day, you've burned through all of your energy. And so making it easier for you to come home at night and not be overwhelmed is really in service to you and your ability to function in the house. And so I think it's worth the effort to get dishes in the kitchen and in the dishwasher before you leave the house. And you can enroll anybody in your house. You can assign them that job, whatever needs to happen to make that happen. Okay. And you'll be better off when you come home, is what I'm saying. It'll just make it easier for you to come home, just like it is to come home and look at the bed being made. It's, you come home and your energy is at its lowest point. And anything you can do to make that be not an assault when you walk in the front door is a good thing. So now let's talk about the end of the day routines, things to help with clutter maintenance at the end of the day. When you come home at the end of the day, when I get out of the car, one of the things I do is you pick up your purse, you pick up the water bottle or the water cup or whatever you had drinking in the car. But I also take out whatever trash I put into the car that day. That involves, I usually have some kind of lunch kit or something. And so any trash that I've had for the day, I will just shove into the lunch kit so that I can carry it in the house and throw it away. And the reason I say that is because that process takes 2 minutes. But if you don't do it for a week or 2 weeks or a month, then cleaning out the trash takes a long time. It's a big, big project. So you don't want picking up the trash in the car to be an annoying chore. You want it to be easy and hardly you have to think about it. And so it's worth stopping for 2 minutes before you go into the house to grab the stuff out of the car and make it come in with you so you can throw it in the trash. It'll make you feel better about getting in the car. It'll make you feel better about when other people get in the car and ride with you. You'll just feel better about it. And it will make it easier for somebody to come and clean. When you take the car to be cleaned, it'll make it easier for them to clean the car as well. So, and especially if you have little kids, of course, they come with a nonstop collection of stuff that goes in the car with them to keep them calm in the car. And, you know, and there's a constant mess in there. And so spending a few minutes to pick all that stuff up just keeps you ahead of the game before you have to go and have somebody vacuum it all out again. When you go in the house, you want to put your wallet or purse and your keys down in the same place every night so that when you are ready to go the next day, they're always right there and there's no scramble to find them. Cutting down on the, oh my God, where are my keys fire drill is a really good thing. And I say this about keys because I don't know why, when you have the keys on you out of the house, they're like the most important thing. You have to have them get in and out of the car. You're locking the door before you leave, and you have to have them with you. And so we keep up with the keys when we're out of the house, and then we come home, and everybody sort of like blanks out, and they blank out completely, and they sort of walk around and let go of them somewhere, and then they're scrambling to find them the next day. The truth is, the keys become unimportant the minute you walk through the door. After you've unlocked the door, you don't need the keys again until you leave the house. And so the truth is, you can find a parking space right next to the door for those keys and come in and hang those keys up or sit those keys in the bowl or whatever, and they can live there because you're not going to have to do anything with those keys until you leave the house again. And so don't wander around the house with them or leave them in your purse, or find a place by the door where you can park them all the time so that you come in, you drop them, and you forget them until you're ready to leave the house again. If they're always in the same place, then leaving the house isn't stressful. This is the result you're trying to aim for. Pick up today's mail and handle it. So we've talked about mail a million times here, but this is one of those daily routines that I think is super important for managing the paper clutter in your house. And paper clutter is one of the categories that makes people the most crazy and makes them feel the most overwhelmed. So if you can make it part of your daily routines when you come home that you go get the mail and bring it in and handle those 5 or 10 pieces of mail right away, then you're throwing out the ones you know are trash right away. If you just bring them in and throw it down, then you know you're going to do that for the whole week. And then at the end of the week, there's 100 pieces of mail sitting on the table that have been ignored. So, and you know most of it's trash. So this is the process that will impact your accumulation of paper clutter the most if you can just handle your mail. Now, you may grab the mail on the way in and then you want to come in and change clothes and get a drink and whatever fiddle in the house you're going to do when you first get started. If you don't do it right when you come in the door, just make it a, maybe you go and change your clothes and put on your evening wear and then you go over and pick up the mail and handle it. Like, you can do it anywhere along your return to the house that you want, but make sure that you slot it in somewhere. One of these two guys talks about the tiny habits. Is that Fogg or Duhigg?
That's BJ Fogg.
Fogg, okay.
Tiny
so
habits, yeah.
Tiny habits and linking those habits when you're trying to build a habit routine. Taking that, do something that you already do every day and linking the new habit to something, letting something that you do already every day be a trigger for you to do the new habit. And so if you want to wait until you come in and change your clothes, then let changing your clothes be the trigger. Like, I put on my, you know, shorts and t-shirt, and then I go back out and pick up the mail and handle the mail. Like, let there be linked in your mind so that you remember to go back and deal with it. It's only going to be 5 minutes. You're going to throw away 80% of it anyway. You're going to shred one piece of paper, and you can stand there and shred it with your hands if you want. And then you're going to end up with, here's the two bills, and go put those two bills away. And here's a couple of magazines, and go put that down where the magazines are, and you're done. Like, it's super easy to do in small batches. And so make sure that small batch processing is something that you do every day.
Gail, Petra had a comment that is actually kind of particularly relevant to what you said about tiny habits.
Okay.
She said, in my previous car, I had a small trash bag in the front. Every time I had to stop for gas, I would get rid of it. So that's kind of what the whole principle of tiny habits is. You find something that you already have to do as a matter of routine, or
yeah, everybody just has to get gas.
You have
right?
to stop for gas.
Yeah.
And let that becomes the trigger for getting rid of the bag of trash.
Right?
And
if you're pumping gas, you're standing there for 2.5 minutes or 5 minutes or whatever, waiting for your tank to fill. Why not spend 2 minutes and pluck trash out and throw it in the – there's always trash cans right next to the thing for that very reason. Yeah. Why not throw some trash out while you're standing there? That is very good. Thank you, Petra. It's a great idea. And it's simple and easy, and you're already standing there. You're standing next to a trash can, and you got nothing else to do except wait for the gas to pump. So you might as well throw some trash out, right?
She also added, in her present car, she never has that much food. Plus, she can – always park close to her house where she has bins, so
right,
it's not an issue. But
I just grab stuff, and you know, it comes in the house, and I walk into the house and go into the kitchen and open the trash can and throw stuff out. Like, I have it in my possession for approximately 90 seconds and then it's gone. Like, it's not a big deal to let go of it. And you know, the likelihood that you have massive amounts of trash in one day is unusual. So it should be a short and quick thing that just helps you stay on top of your environment in the car. Thanks, Petra. Okay, so another thing you should do at the end of the day is empty all the shopping bags you brought in the house. So we all run errands on the way home from wherever we're out of work, and we go by the pharmacy or we go by the grocery store or we go whatever. You have to go pick up stuff, right? And so taking those things out and bringing them into the house is step one. But then step two is, now I've put my clothes on, now I've got a drink or whatever, I've messed with the mail, and I'm going to unpack those shopping bags that I brought into the house. If you have groceries, it's very important because you don't want that stuff to go bad. You need to get the meat and the ice cream in the fridge, right? So there's sort of obvious incentives of immediate food loss if you don't handle it. But other bags that you brought in from other places are just as important. You don't want those bags sitting around adding to the clutter in the house. And so unloading the one or two that you brought home today is better than making a big pile of bags and then I show up as an organizer and have to unpack 15 bags that you've brought home over various trips. And then invariably I do that and somebody says, oh, I forgot that I bought that. It's like, yeah, because when you buy it and you bring it home, you should put it away so you have it when you're ready. So that's a good one to make sure you unpack all those shopping bags when they come home. The other one is that you might want to tie emptying your purse or wallet of all the receipts for the day. Think of that as sort of another, that's some more paper management daily habit that would be helpful. So that's in the receipt category, right? Everybody is, they're out shopping during the day, you're buying the gas or whatever, spending money, and you end up with all these receipts in the purse. You have no idea how many fast food restaurant receipts I have thrown away in the course of my career as an organizer. And, you know, they're not current. And that McDonald's Egg McMuffin got eaten 5 years ago. Why is this piece of paper still floating around the house? So this is something that the decision is super easy. If you have a bunch of receipts in your purse for things that you've eaten, then that is a dead dog. It can go. You cannot, there's nothing to get back there. There's no point to have that receipt unless you're saving it for a deduction, which if you're eating at home, the likelihood that you're going to be deducting food is very slim to none. There's certain circumstances under which you will do that as a business person, but in your regular life, most of the food that you buy is not going to be a deduction. So don't save a bunch of receipts that you don't need. So women walk around with this large vault with two handles on it, and we carry that around. And most of the time, we just keep stuffing things in, stuff, and we never pay any attention. And so, A, it's bad for your shoulders, ladies. I'm telling you, the older you get, the less you're going to want to carry around a 50-pound bag. And B, it makes it hard to find the stuff that you do want, right? So you want to get in there and pull the receipts out. So if you think of the receipts that you have gathered for the day as another category of daily mail, it's part of your paper management to handle the mail and go in and pull out today's receipts and do something with them. So maybe there's one, maybe there's three, maybe there's five receipts. The ones that you bought durable goods with, and maybe you're going to return, you know, you can have a little Ziploc and you can keep it in your purse, but file them in a little Ziploc of these are the receipts in case I have to return something. But then I went to the deli and had lunch today. I went to McDonald's and had breakfast. I went and bought coffee at the grocery store. Like all of those things are receipts that you don't have to keep. And so throwing those out on a daily basis will help the chaos stay low in your purse or wallet. Guys do the same thing too. They just shove things into the wallet and they don't take them back out. And so going through and processing them would be great. If you're doing some sort of accounting and you're tracking your expenses or for budgeting purposes, whatever, you're keeping up with all the receipts, then instead of throwing them away, you would be gathering them for data entry at another point in your day or your week. So again, I would still take them out of the purse and go park them wherever you're going to do the data entry. Maybe you need to have a box that you go toss them in until you're ready to input them into something. My point is, clear them out of the purse and deal with them appropriately, whether it's somewhere for data capture or it's going into trash. When you change your clothes from day wear to night wear, do something with the clothes you wore today. And there's only so many pieces of clothing you can have on in a day. There's only so many things you can put on your body, right? It's only a certain number of pieces, less than 10, probably less than 5. So when you come in to change your clothes from what you wore during the day to what you're going to run around in the evening, you've got a few things that you got to make decisions about. And so, is it dirty? Does it need to be washed? Put it in the hamper. Is it clean enough that you feel like you can wear it again before you have to wash it? Okay, then go hang it up. This is a process that people sort of strip on the way and they let go of the stuff and it ends up on the floor. Again, clothing is a big piece of fabric that creates a visual mess that you have to look at. And there is nothing about that that makes you feel better or makes you feel like that the bedroom or closet is serene or peaceful to you. And so taking the 2 minutes when you are stripping and recognizing, okay, this is literally a shirt, pants, socks, and a bra. Like, there's only so many things I have to take off. I can hang in for the 3 minutes it takes me to put things in the hamper or hang them up, put the bra where it stays when, you know, in between until the next day, putting the shoes away. It's just not that many pieces. It's not that hard. And so making the effort to put those things away as you get undressed and change your clothes is totally worth the effort to stay ahead of it, because you know that laundry is going to have to be collected and you don't want the laundry pile to be parked on your floor to look at. It's so much better to park it in a hamper. And then when the hamper is full, it also creates this container that, you know, when the hamper is full, that means it's time to do laundry. It's a visual trigger for you to go do laundry. If the laundry is bigger than the hamper, then that just means you've got way more laundry to do and you're going to have to spend more time doing it. And who wants to do that? So A, put the clothes in the hamper. B, when the hamper's full, let that trigger you to go do a load of laundry. That means that you're going to do more frequent loads, but you're going to do smaller and it's going to take less time. So worth the effort. And everybody has clothes that they feel like, oh, I only wore this for 2 hours. I can wear it again. And so go and hang it up. Go put it up. It's not going to take that long to hang that one shirt back up in the closet. I know it's annoying. I know it's the end of the day, but the alternative is you save yourself the 2 minutes and you throw it on the ground. And then for the rest of the 2 weeks or 3 weeks until you do laundry, you have to look at an ever-growing chaotic pile of mess on the floor. And that is contributing to your sense of clutter and overwhelm in your life. And so don't do that. Deal with the clothes when you come home. So here's the next one. In the evening, you're going to go and make dinner, right? We're going back in the kitchen because it's time for everybody to have dinner. And you're going to create chaos in the kitchen, pull out all this food, make all this stuff. Here's pots and pans of dishes, yada, yada, yada. And then everybody eats and then we're all tired and you're sitting in front of the television. I would make it part of your daily routine that all of those dishes end up being put away. So whoever's job it is, whether it's yours or your spouse or your kids or whoever, make that be something that you do before you go to bed. So maybe you want to do it right after you eat because you feel like you still have the energy then, or maybe you want to wait and rest after the meal and come back and have it be the last thing you do before you go to bed. Like, whatever, you're going to need 15 minutes to deal with the dishes and put them away. Put things in the dishwasher, wash, scrub the few things you want to scrub in the sink, whatever you need to do about that. But I think this is another area where when the kitchen sink is full of dishes, when the counter is covered in dirty dishes, it is so overwhelming. It is so visually depressing to see that. And you will improve your morning so much if you don't have to come out from being asleep and stumble around looking for coffee and you come in and look at the detritus of last night's dinner all over the counter. And it's just so disheartening to me when I come in and there's dishes in the sink. I'm just like, ugh, it's so much more worth it to me and for my peace of mind when I start the morning to come in and see a clean landscape so that I don't feel like I'm immediately assaulted with chores as soon as I get out of bed and I'm not even awake yet. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want to be, I don't want to jump on the bandwagon. I'm so not a morning person. And so the idea of having to deal with dishes at the crack of dawn for me, the crack of dawn, you know, is a relative term, but coming in first thing before I've even had coffee and I'm looking at a chore that I have to do, it's like, oh, that's the worst. So it helps me in my own peace of mind to deal with those dishes today. It's never going to be a smaller set of dishes to deal with than today's meal. If you leave it and then you have tomorrow's meal, now you have double the dishes you have to deal with. Once a day is the smallest subset of dishes you're ever going to have to deal with. It's the smallest amount of time you'll have to address the chore. And so dealing with it every day is the easiest and shortest way to manage dishes. Lots of people stack. They leave it there for 2 weeks and then they come in for this marathon clean for 2 hours. And I'm like, why would you want to stand in the kitchen sink for 2 hours and clean dishes? Why not spend 15 minutes every night and then no one has to suffer for 2 hours at a time? You can adjust these routines. Like, I'm just sort of making an assumption about start of day and end of the day routines. And so you can adjust these routines how you want to go with your biological clock. And when do you have good energy? How much free time? When are you focused better? If you're a morning person, maybe you want to do a bunch of this stuff in the morning. You wake up and you're super energized and you want to do a whole bunch of stuff before you leave. And I'm the opposite and I want to come home and do stuff at night. And so that when I get up in the morning, I only have to do the bare minimum to get out the door. Do the dishes where you want. I had a conversation in a meetup previously with someone who was talking about her day was really long and she would come home and she'd be exhausted and she had problems loading the dishwasher, running it, unloading the dishwasher, getting the dirty dishes in, and having that all work. And so we talked about breaking it up in stages where she'd be better off loading the dishes in the dishwasher and running it in the morning and then leaving the house so that when she came home at night, she could unload the dishes and make new dinner and then stop because she was out of energy. And then the next morning, get up after she slept and has energy refreshed. And then she would clean up and load the dishwasher again. And so she broke it up into those stages to work around when she felt like she had the best energy and focus to work on it. And you can do the same. But generally, figuring out some time during the day to manage food prep and the detritus left over from eating. You eat every day, you're going to do it two or three times a day. This is cleaning up the dishes is just part of your life. And you got to develop a daily habit around it. The last thing about the kitchen, well, and it's really about the whole house. You want to pick up the trash that you made today. And again, today's trash is the smallest population. You open stuff and opened packages, you got Amazon shipments in the mail and open boxes. There's a collection of trash that you made today. And that's the smallest amount of trash you have to deal with is today's trash. And so dealing with it today, while you know exactly what it is, because if you ignore it for a while and you have to come back to it, then you're going to have to open it up and go, what was that? Oh yeah, that's trash. You don't want to have to go through that decision-making process again when in the moment today, you know exactly that what that was, where it came from, whether it's trash or not. And so going through and throwing that trash away is worth a little walk around the house to keep ahead of the clutter building up. It's only gonna take you a few minutes. You go pick up, here's the dishes and I can put those back in the kitchen and here's the mail that I opened and I need to make sure I threw it away and here's that package I opened and I need to throw that away. Go through and find the trash that you made today. If you didn't throw it away during the day, make it a chore that you go and find that stuff and pick it up and put it in the trash. It's the least amount of decision-making effort you have to have because you know what it is right now. And 2 weeks from now, you'll have to stop and refresh yourself on whether it's trash or not and what it was about, and oh yeah, to get comfortable to decide that it's trash again. So shortcut having to do that process all over again, throw your trash away today. Last on the list, and this is really about project management and getting to the completion of a project, put away whatever you got out today back into its parking space. So you're picking up behind your daily routines, your evening activities. Maybe you worked on a project, maybe you paid the bills, maybe you, who knows what, whatever you're gonna do around the house, you pulled out things to help you do it, and you should go and put all those things back. It's the grown-up equivalent of, I finished the craft project and now I need to put the craft supplies away. Whatever activities you did at the end of your day in the evening, whatever things you started and stopped during the day if you were at home, there were supplies that supported that activity or event, and you want to go put those things away so that they're not out for a week until you get around to it, and then you have to walk around them, you have to go find them, you have to fish through them to get to other stuff. You don't want to do that. So it's one of the things that I do on the way to bed, is that I'm grabbing things and putting things away. I'm putting these shoes back up. I'm putting the computer in its slot. I'm taking the phone and going to put it on the charger. There's little reset things that I do every night before I go to bed to put things back to what I consider starting position, original state. And that means that when I go looking for it again, it's always back. The scissors are always back in the block with the other knives and the, trying to think of something else. The water bottle is always back in the kitchen, and I can get ready in the morning because all of the things have been put back in place. And so, granted, this is a harder chore with children, but also beyond, toddler age, they can be enrolled in the process to a certain point and start learning their own wind up project management tasks by teaching them to put their things away at the end of the day before they go to bed. And so you get to manage your children about when they have the energy and focus to do it. But the idea is that everybody should be putting all their stuff away at the end of the day. It makes it easier for you to start the day. People that are ADD, any amount of time that you spend at the end of the day resetting and prepping for the next day so that you can wake up and you don't have to scramble and run out of time when you have a compressed deadline about when you have to leave the house would make your life much more calm. So it's in service to everybody, but it's particularly in service to people with ADD and time management issues that they have time perception issues, and it makes it easier for you to get out of the door without being super stressed and starting your day in a panic. So reset, reset, reset. Your life is a project management task. And like every project you get into, you got to put your stuff back at the end of the day. Okay.
Gail.
Yes, sir.
Petra added a note. She said, talking about energy and chores for evening or night, I remember my mom used to set the breakfast table before she went to bed. Only the items from the fridge came out in the morning.
Oh, that's a good idea. So that made it easy for her when she was sleepy and there was a short period of time. I mean, this is why people lay out their kids' clothes the night before, or grown-ups decide what outfit they're going to wear the night before, so that there's that much less decision-making and chaos happening in the morning when there is only so much time to get done, to get out the door. So that's a good idea. And I do the same thing with the cat food, actually. I take the cat food dishes and I wash them and leave them out to dry with the cat food can that I'm going to open the next morning, so that I don't have to come in. I'm always like sound asleep walking when I'm coming to feed the cats. And so I don't have to do a bunch of stuff to make the cat food get out for the cat. So it's a good idea to set up what works for you the night before so that you have that much less to do the next day.
We try to do the same thing, getting the coffee maker ready.
Right. Lots of people do that.
The night before. And you can it's the same amount of work, whether you do it in the evening or in the morning, but there's just something so rewarding about waking up to the smell of the fresh coffee and the work already done.
Right. You know? Exactly. And like I said, I'm not a morning person. And so I want the least amount of stuff I have to do to get out of the house in order to successfully get out of the house on time, to make it to my clients on time, and to be properly dressed and fed and all that stuff. So anything that I can do the night before, it only serves me the next day. Even if I have to give up a little bit of, 10 or 15 minutes of sleep in order to make that happen, it's so worth it. Yes, we have a tea maker with a timer. Yeah, see, that's the thing. These are time management things that make your life easy. It's daily routines that make the clutter less chaotic. And the truth is, there was a time in your life when your mom went behind you and cleaned up everything. And I'm telling you, as an adult, you know that she was cussing the whole time. She was picking your towel up off the floor in the bathroom and picking your clothes up and putting them in the hamper and cleaning up the chaos from the crafts. And she did it because she loved you and she was your mother, but it annoyed her and it made her chore list longer. And so now you're a grown up. Nobody's coming behind you to clean up behind you. Like, you have to transfer this responsibility to you now. You are in charge of your own space. And so everything that you do is in service to you, and it's going to make your life easier, and it's going to make your life more serene. And so that's what we're aiming for. And that's the point of the daily chore, so that you can sort of stay ahead of the clutter. And if you haven't finished your backlog project, if you have a big clutter issue that you haven't resolved yet, these daily chores, these daily routines keep that pile from getting bigger and get you in the habits that you'll need to keep it clean after you do all the work to clean out the backlog. So it's only in service to you to start doing these things now, even if you still have a problem that you have to deal with. This will be how you maintain it going forward, and it will be, if you practice it now while you're working on the backlog, it'll be super easy to just keep doing it. When the house is cleaned up, when you've gotten as far as you want to get on the backlog, you'll just slide into those routines and be doing them already, and it'll be super easy to maintain it. And then you won't be coming back to the YouTube channel going, how do I fix it? Why did it go back to the way it was before? Because you will be doing these daily routines, and it will prevent you from going back to the way that was before, which is the goal. Okay.
Before we go, let me share information about...
Oh, yes. Thank you.
Our next events, our upcoming events. Our next meeting will be on Tuesday, June 25th at 12:01 p.m. Central Time. YouTube viewers, we'd love for you to join us live. Visit our website for information about how to participate in the meeting. On Thursday, July 25th at 7 p.m., we'll meet in person at a Healing Collective in Houston. Visit our website to RSVP or for more info. We'll announce topics for both of those events soon. If you'd like to receive notifications about upcoming events, we invite you to join the meetup group at meetup.com/Houston-clutter-coaching. You can also follow us on Facebook or subscribe to our mailing list. We'd love to hear from you, so please send us your questions and topic suggestions in the YouTube comments. And you can always reach us through our website at clutterfairhouston.com.
Yay! Thank you, guys. We appreciate you, and we will see you next time. Bye.